This is the Global Podcast Network, where executives and professionals connect, share, and inspire. Stay tuned for the conversations that drive success.
And welcome back, everyone. It's been said that if you want to have great intimacy in your relationship, you have to have a great relationship. What are the elements of that? We're going to dig into that today. And she's got much insight on that as a sex therapist working with individuals, couples, making their relationships and their intimacy just amazing. As she is, it is Sandra Pasquale, PhD, joining us once again. How are you doing today?
Very good. Thank you so much for having me again.
Here to learn, we all are. Why wouldn't you want the best experience when it comes to intimacy? But it takes work, like everything does in life. And, you know, it might sound rhetorical, maybe elementary in terms of what makes a good relationship, but nobody ever really talks about it. It's almost as if we assume that we know. So where do we want to start today on the elements of a good relationship?
Well, I like to be specific. That's my thing. So I will like kind of mention some, you know, specific terms that I use when I talk about what it makes a relationship good or, good in a way. So I have to start with trust. And pretty much, and the other word that is a big one is commitment. Without trust and without commitment, it's very difficult to build a relationship. And the proof is that when trust or commitment is broken, pretty much the relationship entirely starts like shaking.
So trust, somewhat obvious, and we can dig into that further. Looking at the word commitment, how does that look for you? Because I it can be very conditional in a relationship, and I guess maybe it's transparency about what the commitment is, right?
Well, commitment is like, okay, I'm entirely in the relationship. So it's not like I have, you know, I'm half in, half out. It's staying no matter what, and meaning like anything that happens is going to be transparent and we're going to talk about it and we trust that we can, and I put the word trust there, but we like can work on it. And then if we are going to decide that this relationship is going to break up, we are going to even like have that conversation. And now there is no threats. There are not like, I'm leaving you. There are not like this kind of like, I'm not sure what my partner is going to do next. I am here and I'm 100% until, you know, we both decide that this is not, or, you know, even if it's a crisis, even if it's difficult, we have to do our best to be in this relationship.
All things invariably point back to communication, because if you're not communicating about the commitment, you know, that could look one way for one half of the relationship, another way for the other half of the relationship. Trust. Let's go there.
Well, I think we can resume trust in like the idea that I need to know that you have my best interest in mind. So I think it's like, you know, if I understand that, I know that everything you do is having me in, you know, in your mind, that you're not going to harm me, that you're not going to purposely doing any harm in a way. And then, you know, trust that I can talk about anything with you. You can talk about anything with me. And there are no major, I would say, dangers in their relationship.
You know, it's interesting when you bring up trust, Sandra, where it is, we picture trust, well, you can trust me, I'm not stepping outside of the relationship, et cetera, et cetera. But being able to trust that you can talk to somebody without judgment and feel comfortable, there's all different layers of trust here. I don't think we realize how deep it runs and why it's so important in a relationship.
Yeah, And again, without these are we are talking about the two pillars of a relationship. So those are the two, commitment and trust are the two main things that in a relationship we had to work. And then from then we can work on other, layers in the relationship. For instance, well, maybe it's related to trust, safety. Safety, yes, that again, we can talk about anything. I can set boundaries. I can ask questions. I can ask for time alone. I can keep my morals. I can talk about my values. And I'm still safe in a safe environment. Nothing is going to happen. I can, again, feel safe all the time.
Is one of the number one things a woman wants to feel in a relationship is safe?
Well, I think it's a both. It's like if I'm afraid of like telling you something because you are going to, I don't know, get absolutely but get very upset with me. You're going to leave me. You're going to, I don't know, do something pretty much as like doesn't matter if I'm a woman or a man. I have a lot of couples that come to me and say, well, I'm afraid of doing this or saying this or that because I don't want the other person to be upset or to act this or to do the other thing. So again, when we talk about safety, it doesn't matter. I can talk to you, we can talk about it, I can be upset, but nothing major is going to happen.
It's interesting. I don't think many of us look at it that way with that word safe. Just be, even as a man, how many men will say, "Yeah, I want to feel safe with you." They're not going to verbalize it that way, but they mean it in terms of, I feel like I'm walking on eggshells with her. I can't say anything. I can't be myself. Ultimately, you don't feel safe.
Well, that exact phrase that you say, walking on eggshells, means I don't feel safe.
And aren't we wired to feel safe? From day one, evolution, the beginning of man and woman, where you want to feel safe in every situation. Even our minds will go back there. Our subconscious will do things because it's trying to keep us safe.
Well, again, from the beginning, from, mothers taking care of babies or, little children. Yes, what we're looking is like where if you're a mother, you want your children to be safe. That's the number one thing. And if you are a child and you don't feel safe, your life is going to be very difficult, kind of like growing up.
So those are the two pillars, trust and commitment. Other elements of a good relationship, eventually leading to good intimacy, what would they be?
We talk about acceptance. Acceptance of, again, each other's opinions, each other's influence. It's not like you are going to convince me. I don't need you to convince, or I need to convince you, but I can accept your influence as, to take your advice about something or accept your influence in things that I do. And then it comes together, maybe with respect. And when I say respect, it's like, again, I respect your values. I respect your opinions, even though they are different from me. That doesn't mean that we're not, they cannot be in this relationship.
How does it tie back to intimacy?
Well, we get there.
Okay.
Yes.
Typical man.
Yes.
I pass by everything and go right
Yes,
there.
you go with it. The last chapter.
Steve, be
Okay.
patient. Be patient.
Yes,
Take
we
time.
get
I
there,
got it.
Steve.
All right.
Okay. So, other things that I want to mention: acceptance. No, sorry, empathy. Empathy is very, very important. Again, empathy means like even though I cannot feel what you're feeling, I can still understand and validate what you're feeling. I can still listen in to you. Not necessarily because you're sad. I have to feel sad to understand you. Not because you are frustrated. I have to be frustrated to understand you or to validate how you feel. That is kind of empathy. I can somehow put myself in your place, but not necessarily I have to feel exactly how you feel and still understand you.
How? Okay, so let's look at that. Trust, kind of obvious what we need to do to make sure our partner feels that they can trust. Commitment, pretty obvious. We explained it in some detail. Empathy, how can we raise up our level of empathy? Is that even possible?
Yeah, by listening, being a good listener, being an active listener. Active listening means like, I'm going to ask questions. I'm going to let you finish a sentence. If I don't understand, I'm going to ask for clarification. I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to put my opinions out there like the I'm right, you are wrong. That's in a way kind of like being empathetic with someone.
I was surprised. I took a strength assessment test about a year or so ago. I'm on the board of a nonprofit, and they said, hey, let's do that and see what our strengths are. 34 strengths. My number one strength is communication, so I'm not surprised there. Number two was empathy. And I knew I had a higher level, I figured maybe 50, the top 15, it's somewhere in there, maybe top 10. Never expected to be number two. And the more I look at it, it's a blessing and it's a curse at the same time. I don't know if that makes sense.
Well, now that I'm going to talk about that, but particularly people who have narcissistic traits, one of the main characteristics of people that have narcissistic traits is that they don't have any empathy.
I was afraid you were going to say they have a lot of empathy and
sign
off right now.
Actually, that's one of the big characteristics of people with narcissistic traits or narcissistic personality disorder is another topic.
Yes.
So again, there are things that are important in relationships: patience, kindness. I have a book that I bought some years ago. It's an illustrated book that I really love, and it has all like phrases all over. It says, "Talk to me like I'm someone you love." That's kindness. That's being patient. In a way, it's like, talk to me that you are a person who loves me.
Wow. Interesting way to look at it. Because if you frame it that way, let's say in a business relationship, and the way you communicate, if you think about, I'm gonna communicate as if I love this person, whether you do or not. We have coworkers. Hey, I love you, man. You're great. Interesting, if you process it, put it through that filter in your mind, things will come out different.
Yeah. Well, in a relationship, it's important that I feel like, we talked about this last time, that you like me and I like you. And I cannot like you in some moments, but still, I know that you love me.
Mm.
So again, it's like, talk to me like I'm someone you love. I love that book. I don't remember the author, but it's an amazing book. Then it's like another topic, very important in relationships, is like that you can deal with conflicts. So we're not avoiding them. We are not minimizing them. We are not exaggerating them. We are going to go through them. We are going to deal with conflicts.
Mm. That's a big one.
It is. It is. So it's like, I think it's one of the number one issues that couples have. And it is a thing. It's a very common. It's very common for couples to avoid conflicts. Not necessarily both of them. Sometimes it's one of them that, they're particularly, they don't want to deal with conflict. So they either shut down or don't want to talk about it, or just try to avoid it. Like we say before, I walk on eggshells so you don't get upset and I don't create a conflict and then we have to talk about it or deal with it. There are research behind conflicts and, resolution of conflicts. And again, the research says that 70%, almost 70% of problems that couples have do not have a solution. 70% is a big number. But as I saw, what do you do? 70% of the conflicts that people have don't have a solution. What do you do? We just divorce or separate? Well, when you do not, when you cannot find a solution, you have to find a compromise. You have to negotiate. How can I approach? How you can approach to me?
Would you say that when you don't resolve a conflict, or you kind of just you don't want to deal with it, eggshells, all of that, that it sits inside you and then derails a lot of things like intimacy? Because what will come from that? Probably animosity, things like that, right?
Well, again, it's like, not because not all conflicts have their solution. Imagine, it's like we will never get to sex in a way, because I have to feel somehow that, we don't have this conflict. A simple thing like, I don't know, I want to have sex every day. I want to have sex once a week. So now what, in a way? So it's like, again, not necessarily we are looking for the solution. We are looking to how can I approach to what you want and how you can approach to what I want. Without, and this is kind of the compromise. I work a lot that, with couples. And then, again, if we're talking about conflicts and we talk about compromising, we're also talking about taking responsibility, like taking responsibility for my part in this conflict, what I am doing, not always pointed at you and what you are doing. That's creates actually more conflict.
Well, therein lies the not using the you statement, but the I
Exactly.
statement. Right.
That's what it comes from. Yes, I statement. Then of course we have to talk about honesty. Being 100% honest. Again, some people say, well, if I tell this, or I didn't tell you this because I knew that you were going to get upset, which I found really, really controversial, because now that I know, and I know that you lie to me or you omit something to me, I'm going to be more upset. So honesty, I think it goes together with trust as well.
Is honesty the same thing as transparency?
Yes, definitely. But for me, it is.
Yeah, I'm just looking. I mean, you hear those two words, and sometimes people say I'm being very transparent, but I guess put the word honest in there, and essentially the same thing.
I think most people are able to deal with the truth. If you know, it's like if you don't give me the opportunity to deal with the truth, no matter how bad it is, again, I'm in the dark here. And then when I know, when I finally did, I come to the light of the whatever was happening, now I feel a lot of more negative emotions around it.
So, are we at the point where we tie this into
Yes.
intimacy?
Yes, we are. So in a way, again, if you think about all these things and you put it together with, now sex, okay. So number one is like, yes, the affection part that I did not mention in the things that we need for a good relationship. Being affectionate every day and be present as much as you can. It doesn't need to be for hours. It just need to be 10, 15 minutes, whatever time you can take. And then, going back to communication. If I need to communicate what I want, what I need, what I desire, I need to communicate about my turn-ons, about my turn-offs, what is sexy for me, what is not sexy for me. If with couples that don't communicate about sex, they cannot have this kind of conversation. They don't need to be long conversations. They need to be more like instructions kind of thing. So now it's like, I don't have to guess. I don't have to be, what's in your mind? I can ask you and you can tell me. Or I can trust that whatever we are doing, you are going to direct me to what it is more pleasurable for you. It is something that you like more. It is something that, you always wanted to do.
That takes a lot of courage, trust to tell somebody what you like and what you don't like when it comes to sex. What turns you on, what turns you off? I think a lot of us don't go there.
Well, that's what I'm saying, not long conversations. It doesn't need to be, okay, let's have a conversation about what you like, what you don't like, whether it turns out. That sounds like very, okay, who is going to remember that, number one? And then a lot of people would say, I don't know. I hear that a lot. So, in a way, it's more in, okay, let's discover this. Let's, I think I would like to, I don't know, do this or try that. Or I've been thinking that this is a super sexy situation. I don't know, something like you just, it's a small thing. It's not a big conversation. And then in the moment or a little before or a little after, I can have this, I really like this. And there is one important thing, when we are talking about communication, sex communication in a way, it's like you have to use always positive statements. So it's not like, don't do that. Don't touch me there. No. In a way, it's like immediately the brain freaks out
Oh, yeah.
and you kind of get some sense of danger. So it's always using positive statements. So this is a good practice in like other situations that I'm not necessarily going to use negative, statements to communicate with you. I started using positive communication and then translating that into sex. That will be really what we want to be.
It's universal communication, even at a job. You're the employer. You're talking to an employee. You shouldn't go to them and say, "Listen, this I don't like the way you're doing that, and the way you handled that yesterday, just not cool." And oh, by the way, that other project you worked on just didn't hit the mark. No, highlight the positives. The positives. It's because think about what that does to anybody. It messes with their self-esteem. Especially when it comes to intimacy, when you're hearing, the way you do that, oh, that's horrible. It really is.
Yeah, again, it's like you have to relax, you have to be present. Then it's like a major thing is like talk about maybe making it fun, making it exciting. What is fun for you might not be the same for me.
Sure.
But again, it's like we can compromise into something, we can talk about, we can try that. What is it that I need to get close to that place? What is it that I need before? What activities we can share, before? And then, there is a big word here that, I can't forget about, in terms of sex, it has to be consensual. Consensual means that everything that we are going to be doing is because you say yes, because I say yes to it. It's not coerced. It's not because I don't want you to be upset with me. It's not because you're going to leave me. It's not because I don't know. I don't want you to have sex with another person. I really, again,
Well,
we
okay,
need to.
we're almost out of time. Got to ask this question. Talk about consensual, but we're also talking about spicing it up and communication and all that. Is there, let's say you want to, try something different, but a little bit of a surprise. But you don't want, where does the consensual part come in there? You follow where I'm going?
Yeah, I can. You can always say no. And it's going to be fine.
Yeah, okay. Right. And I'm not suggesting anybody gravitate to another relationship, but if your partner isn't crazy about something, go hang with me on this one. Doesn't mean that somebody else doesn't like it. It's not a reflection on you. It's just that person you're with. And you could be with that person for 30 years. It doesn't matter. That's their choice. And you want them to be happy. So then you adjust things. But that doesn't mean you're wrong. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes, again, there is no bad or wrong in
Right.
sex if both of you or both or more people are in an agreement. And again, it's consensual. That's where they go. There's no bad or wrong. There's no like
Yes.
right, or wrong on this. But yes, it's like it goes back to I can trust you that I can say no and it's going to be fine. And we are going to find something else fun to do that we both enjoy.
And that's now I see trust, how really huge it is being able to trust that you can talk with that person. Because again, in a relationship, I can trust them, meaning they're not going to sway from the relationship. Good stuff today, Sandra. How do we find you? Somebody wants advice, wants to work on therapy, enhance their relationship on the intimate
Yes.
side. What do we do?
My website, Notus, Notus, counseling.com. You can email me, Sandra at notuscounseling.com.
Notus counseling.com, correct?
That's right.
Excellent. Thank you for today. important stuff here, you know, foundational things for great relationships, and I appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
This is the Global Podcast Network, where executives and professionals connect, share, and inspire. Stay tuned for the conversations that drive success.
Hi, this is Terry Crews, actor, former football player, game show host, father of five, and all-around big dude. I'm also an expert on drama. I know all kinds of drama. There's the good kind that comes with having a house full of kids. There's the bad kind, like season-ending injuries. There's the necessary kind, like having an agent in Hollywood. And there's silly drama, like the drama around my percolating pectorals. And then there's the drama you can skip.
Skip the drama that comes with not having your high school diploma or equivalency. Find free adult education classes near you and finish your high school diploma. Visit finishyourdiploma.org.
Or text DIPLOMA to 97779. Message and data rates may apply. Reply STOP to opt out. That's DIPLOMA to 97779. And leave the drama to actors like me.
Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ed Council.